consideration of a moment in time. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. If there's one thing that I've picked up over the last few years, it's an appreciation for where we are and trying to get away from focusing on what we don't have or the ideals of what we think the future should hold. I've become very, very appreciative of everything that people have done for me and the opportunities that have come out working with the Internet Archive over the years. And I'll say to you that right now, we are in a beautiful golden age, a golden age that we will look back on with such emotion and such happiness that it came by as it did. Right now, internet connectivity is at an all-time high, and the amount of materials on the Internet Archive has never been greater. On an average day, dozens of terabytes are added by both partners of the archive and individuals. People are going through their collections of old data or creating new sets of scans or even works that they've come up with recently and adding them to the archive by the thousands, the tens of thousands on some days. These are instantly accessible from all over the world, and people are able to read them, share them, download them with basically no limits. As somebody who grew up at a time when connectivity was rationed, hard to do, single stream, and in many cases, economically prohibitive, and the source of great strife in my family when costs were incurred, I can only sit back and wonder at how things have changed and where we are. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we tend to make when we find ourselves in fortune is to look forward and find faults in what we could improve. Innovation is great, and as it comes along, each new turn of the page tells us that the story will go on. But not appreciating what we have before it's gone is a theme that I see over and over. My job, after all, is to float gently above disappearing communities and self-destructing websites, collections of data that are at risk, and even physical collections that are doomed for auction or trash, where I might be able to step in and help. Anytime I'm doing this, I'm walking through something that once lived. Time and time again, journalists always talk to me after the community is over, instead of asking me to give my thoughts on where we are now. It is incredibly easy for me to predict where things are going to go wrong, or where we're going to find ourselves in crisis or missing something that used to be there. If you take one look at, for example, Discord, everything in that system is designed to fail from entropy in the years to come. There's just too many groups, too many people using it, not to set themselves up at being utterly reliant on a whole bunch of economic factors that they're not paying attention to. Somebody is covering that disk space, providing that voice chat system, and one of these days, something is going to happen to Discord, and it's not me being particularly psychic by predicting that. Anytime you assemble people, and those people create works or interact or have conversations, you are building something. Something is coming of what those people are doing. And with a good moderator, a good set of leaders, something truly special lives for a time. But the same forces that bring it together can easily, easily fall apart. All it takes is two people who don't agree on something fundamental, the influx of cash, or the offers of changing jobs and having different priorities, and something starts to fall apart. An agreement that was made verbally becomes something that's contested. A group of websites that had interdependency suddenly discover that one of them is being sold off or has to increase its prices to be able to survive. And from there, things grow weaker or disappear. disinterest from somebody who is a fundamental part of the support of the website is all that it might take for things to go south. And the story plays itself off again and again and again. I don't have some sort of inside information when I name a website as being in trouble or destined to be doomed. It's just knowing that the amount of websites that actually survive for any long period of time have attributes that most simply don't provide. If you have transparency, a support system that doesn't depend on somebody giving away enormous amounts of something for free, and a plan of succession and disaster recovery, well, it's going to be a pretty harsh ending sometime in the future. And me walking around outside in my top hat and sandwich board saying doomed, it shouldn't be a surprise to you. That said, there are communities where having that attribute, that fragility, that foreshortened lifespan, that lack of dedication to perpetuity means that it actually benefits from being temporary. Naturally, I'd love for the end of any website to be clean, lacking trauma, having minimal sadness. I'd especially love it if it resulted in a few files that could be used to reference what was there before. But I really do understand the pros and cons of everybody getting it right. Right now, there are small groups that have extremely difficult hurdles to get to their communities, passwords, knowing somebody, and those places will fall apart and maybe never end up as anything other than a mentioned line here or there or a coded word that certain people will remember. Its destiny is 5 or 10 years later to end up as a documentary or an oral history for an article to describe what it was like being at those places. We won't have anything except for a few small artifacts to remember it by. We see this all the time with the BBSs that I'm still tracking down. I'll find a title screen. If I'm really lucky, I'll find a buffer of what their menu looked like and some of the messages that were posted, but usually not. It's just a phone number and a name. I don't think that's terrible. The places that these were live on in the people who called them, and we find traces of the BBS spirit even now on the internet. In many ways, we've done it. We've made it so that websites, apps, social networks are strongly reflecting the human condition, the condition of imperfection, of impermanence, of emotions rising far beyond the mark where they should have, and the downfalls coming swift, unexpectedly, and with great sadness and mourning. We've done it. We've brought the inorganic to the organic. And we're going to have to live with that as time goes on. I think the price of that, the bill that comes due when things don't work out, or experience an outside traumatic force that brings things to a close when nobody wanted it to, is that for the moments that we have, the present, the day that we are here, we experience wonderful things. We have moments where people reveal that they've been working on a project on the side for years and they want you to try it out right now. We walk into their projects, discovering that they've thought of almost everything, that they've rounded and sanded all the corners, added an incredible color scheme, and we just stand back for free and appreciate what they've done. Not a month goes by that I don't run into one of these projects. And inevitable, overwhelming, or other drama sends it back into the darkness from where it came. People who I didn't know before have their stories told, and I discover new folks I'm a fan of and want to follow and learn about. Every new day that I wake up and go online brings me wonders and emotion and a place for my curiosity to run wild. The fact I worked for a collection of some of the most interesting artifacts online makes it even more of a joy. I've been spending a lot of time analyzing the influx of material at the archive. This allows me to see when somebody decides to upload 200 different items along a theme, and I can see the wide range of that small subculture and what it had going for it and what this person thought needed to be preserved. I'm able to communicate with these people, write to them and tell them what an incredible job they're doing, give them tips on making it work faster, and just soak in knowing that somebody is as dedicated to what they do as I am to the things I care about. Every once in a while, I see somebody put forward the myth that I am unique in what I do. I'm not. I'm somebody who's comfortable on stage and in the public eye. But over and over again, I witness people, online and off, who leave me in the dust with their dedication and the things that they've accomplished. Where it makes sense, I try to highlight them, hold them up, and in other places, just assist them and quietly let them work out of the spotlight where they prefer. Life, in other words, in the moment, in the present, is an incredible buffet of variety, of wonder, of heartfelt emotions. And I acknowledge, here, in the present day, what a wonderful time it is to be here. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoyanu, Peter Healy, Mark Pilgrim, Corey Thomas, Emilio Oliveira, Matt Reynolds, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Thematically, it shouldn't be surprising to know that I try to make the most of every day. I've had too many near scares over the years, and I don't want to ever take a day for granted. Sometimes the work we do requires that it be in pieces from day to day, and we might not see results for a long time to come. But I'm pretty well committed to making sure that each individual day I have moments and experiences that stay within the confines of that day. A short walk, a conversation, calling somebody back, or writing an email, just to make sure that I leave that day having let others know that I appreciate them, that I want to know more, and that the door to my attention is always open.